Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated. All right. Take your Bible. Look in your Bible. Yeah. Look in your Bible in the book of Luke. I appreciate the nice welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. I guarantee you, you feel welcome here for sure. And I appreciate it very much. What a blessing to be here. I've enjoyed since Tuesday evening getting in here and speaking several times on yesterday and today. And I apologize for not being able to stay for the church ed class today. But they're calling for heavy snow here tomorrow, and then down our way, they're calling for not snow, but heavy rains. And I don't mind the rain, but heavy wind and rain makes a difference in an airplane. And so I don't want to get stranded. I've got to get back. But I've enjoyed very much being here with you folk these last few days. What a great place. What a wonderful spirit here. Wonderful. And I hope you don't take it for granted and you get everything you can get while you're here and learn and enjoy school. And let me say this, if God led you here, He led you to finish. You come here and finish and get your education and learn all you can learn. The brother of ago said to get in the Bible and get to know God. Spend time with God. And get to know the Lord and learn everything you can learn from Pastor Wilkerson and the staff and those that here at the college and in the church and in your ministry. And one day you'll be out there on your own as a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, a Christian school teacher. You'll be serving God somewhere, and you'll think back, say, them were some of the greatest days of my life when I was at Hiles Anderson. But you learn everything you can learn while you're here. Learn, get everything you can get. And this is a great, great, great place. And I thank God for you and for this staff and your dear pastor, and thank God for you. Now I'm going to have you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Luke and the 17th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 11 down through about 19. And I enjoyed the singing and the music and the orchestra over here, and all of it, the great spirit, the congregation singing. Y'all sound like a great choir from where I was standing. You do such a good job singing, such a good spirit. And so if you would stand with me and let me read verse number 11 and following. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Now, up in verse number 15, it says, "And one of them." one of them. And I'm going to preach today on this thought, are you one of them? We've heard sermons, you know, and great sermons. We've heard sermons on, you know, where the nine and all of that. Well, I'm just going to talk today about this one, pretty much, and ask you, are you one of them? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this great place here at Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church and the ministries here, and only heaven reveal how many people's been saved through these ministries and will continue. And Father, we thank you for it. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. And I know, Lord, the responsibility, and I feel it on my shoulders to help these students today. Years down the road, something said today, may they remember something that, Lord, will be useful to them, something that'll help them in the ministry and in their personal Christian life. Holy Spirit of God, help us, we pray. We cannot do it, and we've got to have you. Please, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated and look right up this way, and I'm going to preach to you on, are you one of them? Notice there was 10 lepers here. Lepers were not allowed to come in with the rest of the people. They had a disease that was many times turned out to be fatal. There was no known cure for it unless God cleansed them and healed them. And they were people that had to distance themselves from everybody else. But when these 10 lepers heard that it was Jesus, they cried out and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Verse 13, and have mercy on us. And it says, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. You know, you study back there in the book of Leviticus, I believe it is, that was what they had to do. That when they were cleansed, they had to go and let the priest declare them to be clean. And Jesus said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Verse number 14 says, and as they went, they were cleansed. You know, they had to make a move and start the right direction to go for the priest. But as they turned to go, they were cleansed. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He didn't go on to the priest. He just come right back to Jesus. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus then in verse 17 asked a question. Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? But you know, I'm not sure where they were. Maybe they was happy they were cleansed because they too were cleansed. But maybe they got so excited they said, well, we're going on to the priest and be declared clean. I don't know exactly what they done, but I know this. One of them came back. One of them. You know, folks, I want to be one of them. You know, there's going to be thousands and have been thousands and thousands of kids. And when I say kids, I know you're adults, but, you know, when you get about 70 years old, a lot of people are kids, you know. Amen. But anyhow, there's been thousands of people go through this school, thousands. But once in a while, there'll be one of them that says, you know something? I want to take everything that was taught to me, and I don't want to take it for granted, and I want to go back and thank the Lord Jesus for what he done for me, and I'm going to make my life count for God. I'm going to go back. Jesus knew where those 9 were. He really wasn't asking him so he would give an account of the 9. But it is something to think about. They were just as clean as this one that come back. But it was just one that come back. And let me say something to you today. You ought to say, you know, I want to be one of them that comes back to Him. Let me just give you some thoughts here. And you know, when you're one of them, you're different. You'll be different. You know, Simon Peter, even when he got where he wasn't really right with the Lord right before Christ was crucified, you know, he denied the Lord. And you remember a little maiden, a little girl come out on 2-3 occasions and said, "You're one of them. You're one of them." And he denied it. But you know, once you're one of them, you're marked. And I want to tell you something. I want to be one of them. I don't want to be to where I would ever deny. I'd proudly want to say, yes, I want to be one of them. First of all, I want to be one of them that worships the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to worship Him. You know, I think about when I think about worshiping Him in the house of Simon the leper, I think about when Jesus was in there and several of the disciples and people were there. And there was a woman by the name of Mary of Bethany that came in with a big alabaster box. And I'm told it was over a year's worth of savings, what somebody would make in a year's wages, that she brought that alabaster box and broke it open and began to anoint Jesus for His burial and wept over Him and cried and got on her knees in front of Him and washed His feet and dried them with the hairs of her head and worshiped Him. And you know, you remember old Judas said, "But why is this waste being made?" Let me tell you something. Anything you spend on Jesus is not a waste. Now, to the world, they may tell you, well, he's wasting his life. He's up there at Hiles Anderson College. And there's no future. Now, let me tell you something. You don't listen to all of that. Brother, let me tell you something. A life given to God is not a life wasted. You give your life over to God and you serve God. And you worship Him and you love Him. This one old Samaritan come back and he didn't stand in front of Jesus. He fell down in front of Jesus. He fell on his face giving Him thanks. You know, I hear songs sometimes, Brother Wilkerson, I'll hear him sing songs and people talk about, I just want to stand before Him and see the Lord one day. But let me tell you something, folks, I ain't sure that any of us will be able to stand before Him. Brother, let me tell you, I'd want to get on my face before Him. And I got on my face before Him this morning and told Him how wonderful He was and how gracious He is and kind He is and powerful He is. We ought to spend time. I want to be one of them that worships Him in truth and in spirit. And then let me say this right here. He worshiped Him because of his conversion. He'd been changed. God had saved him. You know, friend, today, some of you, you sitting here today, you could be out there all messed up, and your life could be a life that's ruined by alcohol and drugs and all that. And one day, by the grace of God, He saved you. By His grace. Don't ever get over the fact that the Lord saved you one day. Thank God 10,000 times. Thank God Jesus had mercy on me and had grace on me. I was dirty like this leper. And one day when I could not come to where He was, He come to me in that little Baptist church that night. And God convicted me of my lost condition and saved me an hour to be in hell today. And I don't deserve to be able to preach for Him and serve Him today. But I thank God today that He's allowed me to serve Him. And I just want to say today that thank God for His conversion. And then when He's seen his condition, He cleaned him up. He not only saved him and converted him, He cleaned him. His skin looked like that now of a baby. He didn't have all them scabs and sores and running places on him. He'd been changed. And the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Oh, let me tell you, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And he's seen his condition, and he's seen his conversion. Then let me say, I want to be one of them that worships him, but I want to be one of them that walks with him. You know, the Bible said that Noah walked with God, and Enoch walked with God. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with him. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to have to pull away some from people and find you a place to get with God every day, to walk with him. But we ought to walk every day with him, even when we're with people. We ought to still be walking with the Lord. But we ought to be walking with God every day in this old book. This book will keep you clean. John 15:3, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. This is the filthiest world today that it's ever been. And let me tell you today, the only way to stay clean, keep your heart clean and your mind clean, is to keep your mind and thoughts on God. And the way to do that is to stay in the eternal word of God and live in the Bible, and then to live in prayer and spend time with God in prayer every day. Spend time with the Lord. And, you know, my advice is to get up early and try to get in your Bible and get your prayer before you start dealing with people. Yeah, walk with God and get God on you, you know. And walk with him the Word of God. You know, I love it whenever Jesus preached in John 6 about, he preached about himself being the bread of life. And the religious crowd said to him, this is a hard saying. You know what they meant? They said, this is some hard preaching. We can't take this. And so they got up and left. Everybody left. And only ones left there was the disciples. And Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? Simon Peter, one of the greatest statements in the Bible, he said, to whom shall we go? For we're sure that you're the Christ, the Son of God. And you're the Son of God. You're the Savior. There ain't nowhere else to go to. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Folks, let me tell you, you can't turn back and go to the world. You need, God has saved you by the grace of God. You need to walk with Jesus. Walk with him. You remember them disciples on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion of Christ in Luke 24? And they're walking. And you know what? They're walking, but they wasn't walking with him. They're sad. And a stranger, they thought, stepped out of the shadows and began to walk with them. And Jesus looked at Cleophas and his wife, and he said, what are you sad about? Why are you sad? And you know, sad part is, a lot of Christians today seem to be sad, don't they? You know, you ought not endure your Christian life. You ought to enjoy your Christian life. And they said, well, have you not heard about the Savior, the Lord, that was crucified? And there, how they took him and killed him and crucified him. And Jesus said, well, tell me more about it. They began to tell him. Well, then Jesus whetted their appetite. He began to share some things with them. And they got to the fork of the road where Jesus looked like was going to go the other direction. And they invited him home for supper. And Cleophas said, you know, Mary could get something together to eat. You come on. They constrained him, the Bible says in Luke, constrained him. And it's, he made as though he would have went on, but he went with them. He went home with them. And when they got in there, she got to cooking, and Cleophas sat down there, and Jesus, I can just in my mind picture him sitting in a chair, and he opened up the scriptures. In the Old Testament scriptures, he opened them up concerning himself. Brother, he began to give them scripture. And boy, I mean to tell you, it was getting thick in there. I mean, listen, God got in there. God was in that place. And Jesus, when their eyes was opened and they realized who he was, he vanished. But Cleophas got and put his arms, I think, around his wife, and they danced around that kitchen, and they were jumping and praising God. And they said, did not our hearts burn while he talked with us by the way? You know, brother, we need something We need a fire from God in us because we've been with God. You know, you got to put wood on a fire. You know, I, as a kid coming up, I was raised in the mountains of West Virginia, and we had a coal stove. We burned coal. And me and my brother had to carry coal every day and wood, keep that coal stove fed, you know, to keep it going. You couldn't just put wood in it one time and coal and let it go. You had to keep feeding it. And I'll tell you what, friend, it would sure give you some heat. And let me tell you something. If you'll feed off of the Word of God and you'll pray and spend time with God, let me tell you something. He'll build a fire down in your soul. If you'll do that, you'll have fire. And brother, let me tell you, there'll be people come along try to throw a wet blanket on it. But let me tell you something. If you got enough Word of God in you and you're praying like y'all do, you'll go right on. You see, but I want to be one of them that walks with Him. I want to be one of them that walks with Him. Then and talks with Him. Then I want to be one of them that's willing to serve wherever God put me. I want to be willing to serve wherever God put me. You see. Some people say, well, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this. Won't you ask God where you go? What you do? You know something? When God called me to preach, and I want to tell this to you, to you boys, for the benefit of you boys that's called to preach. You know, I worked close with my pastor, and I seen some heartaches and things he went through. And I was a deacon in the church, and God called me to preach. And I remember saying to myself, well, I don't think I'd ever want a pastor. I mean, that, you know, people hurt you and do some things sometimes to hurt you. I just don't know that I could do that. And I got in my mind, Brother Wilkerson, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do like old Oliver B. Green. I'm going to get me a box truck and put me some chairs in the back of it. And I'm going to get me an old canvas tent and a PA system. And I'm going to go to little old towns around here in the mountains. And I'm going to set that tent up. And I'm going to preach a week or two in it, win souls, and pack up in a week or two and put my chairs, my tent in the back of it, and hit the road and go to another town, do the same thing. That's what I'm going to do. You know something, Paul? I forgot about how to live. I'd have starved to death, you know, trying to do what I had in my mind. But you know what? God wasn't in that. God wasn't in that. And then one day, God opened a door for me to fill in for a little church in West Virginia in a little town called Bolt. There was 500 people in that town. In the whole town, little coal mining town, and the pastor had resigned, and they wanted me to just come fill in. And the pastor was thinking about coming back, but he changed his mind and said he wasn't going to come back. Well, there I was, and I was thrilled to get them Sundays to fill in and Wednesday nights. And I thought, man, you know, I'm getting to preach, and it was a blessing. But then one night, them deacons called me back in there and said, hey, we'd like for you to be our pastor. And I'll be honest with you, I really didn't want to do it much. But I prayed about it, and I won't go into all of it, but God, without a shadow of a doubt, showed me He wanted me to take that church. And I started pastoring there, and God began to bless. And I'd get out and beat the brush and try to win souls and bring people in. And God began to bless that thing, and that little old building filled up. And God left me there for 3 years. And then one day, the phone rang, and it was a pulpit committee down in Mocksville, North Carolina. They said, we're looking for a pastor. Would you be interested in coming to Mocksville, North Carolina? I said, no, sir, I'm not interested. And the man got ready to hang up. He said, well, we didn't know. He said, Bobby Robertson, give us your name. I said, Bobby gave you my name, and I knew I hadn't said anything to Brother Bobby. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I prayed, and long story short, God put me there, and now this is my 40th year. But let me tell you something. God has blessed me, and I'm telling you, there's no place like being when you go to God and say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you think I need to do, Lord, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Let me tell you something. To do that, you have to reckon self to be dead, Romans 6:11. John 12:24 said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And Galatians 2:20 and on, talking about dying to self and being dead to self, and then saying, God, what do you want? Get like old Isaiah, when he got straightened up in that sixth chapter, and he seen the Lord, and he got things right with God, then he said, here am I, Lord, send me. He didn't tell him where to send him. He just said, God, here I am. And let me tell you something. The best thing you'll ever do in your life is when you surrender. And I want to tell you something, preachers, you preacher boys, we got a country going to hell. And let me tell you, don't you get sidetracked and get off out here and get into something else. Listen, you serve God and you give your life to God. And young ladies, you give your life to God as a soul winner and what God would have you to be. I want to be willing to serve Him, you see. Then let me say, I want to be one of them that's a witness for it. Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. A witness is somebody that tells what he knows. Everywhere we go, you ought to have gospel tracts on you. You can't give them out if you ain't got them. And you get an opportunity, put one in somebody's hand. And you get a little more opportunity there. Ask them if they died. You know for sure you'd go to heaven and kindly and compassionately. Be able to show them how to get to heaven. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like it in all the world. Proverbs 11:30 said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing for men, you're not following like you are to be. I want to be one of those that witnesses. Last of all, I want to be one of them that's watching for Him to come. You know, if you're watching for Him to come, according to 1 John chapter 3, you'll live right. You know, if you're watching for Him to come, you'll live clean. Because He could come, and I want to tell you something. He could come at any second. The Lord Jesus Christ could come. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, He said, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And He said, the Lord shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming one day. And young people, let me tell you something. The hour is late. But I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that's watching for Him, witnessing for Him, walking with Him, waiting on Him, willing to serve, and worshiping Him. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you want to be one of them, or you just want to be with the crowd? Oh, let me tell you, today I hope God puts a desire in your heart to say, oh, I want to be one of them that serves Him and loves Him and lives for Him. I want to be in love with Him with all my soul and heart and mind. I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. Would you come? We're going to pray together. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Would you join us here as the play on the instrument? Would you come? We're just going to pray. I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that serves God with my life. Is God speaking to you? Is God calling you? Is God speaking to you? I want to be one of them that witnesses. one of them that works, one of them that worships. I want to be one of those that's willing. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, in this room, you'll give us many and many that wants to be one of them. And Lord, I pray that you'll, Lord, speak to hearts in this service, and Lord, speak in a way they'll not forget today, and they'll not forget, Lord, the decisions they made. And God, may you keep your hand on this college and on the dear Pastor Wilkerson and his staff and the people here. Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for what they mean to us. God, bless these young people. Lord, bless them today. Help all of them to serve you and live for you and love you with all their heart, mind, and soul. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.